Christmas Eve. What a beautiful evening. What a beautiful time to be together. You heard the gospel reading from the Gospel of St. Luke tonight. And in that gospel reading, you heard where there was a call for a census to take place. And so everybody had to go to their own hometown to register for the census. So Mary and Joseph, they head on off to Bethlehem and they arrive there. They go to the inn and they knock at the door and they try to get in, but there's no room at the inn. And so they find a little place to have the baby, a manger. And all of you have seen the pictures and the artwork and everything about all the hay and the rickety old wood and the animals hanging around. And you can begin to imagine the sweet aroma in the manger where the baby is to be born. And yes, yes, yes. So the baby's born, and out in the flock, there's a bunch of guys watching their sheep, their shepherds. And God sends angels to the shepherds. Now, these guys have never seen an angel before. They've heard about them, maybe. They've never seen an angel. So they're out with their sheep, and it's dark, just like it is right now outside. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, comes this huge, bright light. And this angel, whatever an angel looks like, this angel just kind of falls from the sky and begins to talk to them. Oh, you tonight, you're going to receive just great news. You're going to see something you've never seen before. Oh, this is wonderful. This is incredible. You won't believe what you're about to experience. You guys are so lucky. So they go. They find the inn. They find the baby. And then they say to each other, well, I guess we ought to get back to the sheep. What do you think? And so they leave. They go back to the sheep of all things. They've seen the most incredible thing. They've seen what you and I would love to see. Our Savior laying in a manger. We would just cherish the moment. And they see it. They say, that's pretty cool. And they leave. Well, they had work to do. They had to get back to work. Every time I read this story and every time I hear it being read, I think, you know, something's not quite right about this story. Something just doesn't fit nicely with this story. And the question always comes up, why did the shepherds get to be the first ones to be told the Messiah has come, to be taken to the manger, to be able to see him, talk to Mary and talk to Joseph and talk to the other animals that are hanging around, I suppose, and then just go back to work? Why were they the first? Listen, who's waiting for the Messiah to come? Everybody, every Jew in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, they're all waiting. So why didn't God call the chief priest? Say, hey man, guess what's going to happen tonight? I want you to go outside and I want you to look in a certain direction, probably east, and I want you to wait for a star. Wait for a star, and then when you see the stars, kind of hang out for a while, and all of a sudden, poof, there's going to be an angel. And I want you to follow that angel and go see the Messiah. Well, he'd have just gone nuts, wouldn't he? The Messiah's here. Oh. But not in a manger. The chief priest wouldn't go to the manger. He wouldn't expect any Messiah to be in a manger. He could have gone to the priest who would serve under the chief priest. They would like to have seen that. He could have gone to the Pharisees. When you read the gospel, the Pharisees know everything. They know what's right and what's wrong. They're waiting for a Messiah. God could have called the Pharisees, sent them a little email, woke them all up, said, hey, it's time. It's time. I've done it. And if the Pharisees couldn't go, he could have called the scribes, teachers of the law, whoever. He could have found one of the most prestigious, prominent rulers and leaders of all of Judea or Bethlehem or Jerusalem. He could have gotten somebody who's not a shepherd. Is that just the best he could do? A bunch of shepherds? If this had taken place in a different time, this wouldn't be a problem. If this had taken place back in the days of the patriarchs, you know, Abraham, Moses, all those guys. But back in their day, being a shepherd, it's a pretty good thing to be doing. It's a very prestigious sort of job. It means you had wealth if you had a huge flock. They were highly respected. Honorable men. Noble workers. Men of credibility. Incredible caregivers to their sheep. These were men who were dedicated and committed to a particular cause to serve their God as they raised the sheep, because they knew every year when the Passover would come, there would have to be the little lambs and the sheep to offer at the Passover. So they had a huge responsibility to take care of, and they were dedicated, they were committed. They were so held in honor and prestige that the psalmists write of them. Psalm 78, it says, He, God, also chose David, that's going to be King David later, yes, King David, and took him from the sheepfold. Now, that doesn't mean that David was just out there playing with the sheep one day. That means David was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. But don't you see that for the shepherd to become a king, the shepherd had to be what? Somebody. You all know Psalm 23. The Lord Almighty is my shepherd. God in heaven is my shepherd. So shepherds had a high place in those days. But then, you know, a few hundred years slide by and things start to get a little ugly. Shepherding and farming begin to come together and the two don't mix. It's like water and oil. Farmers don't like shepherds and sheep. Shepherds and sheep, they don't like farmers, but you know the problem is that the sheep liked what the farmers grew. So the sheep didn't have a problem moving into someone's huge farming area. They were happy to go. But the farmers were not happy to see them, because sheep will just tear that land to bits. And it's so much work for the farmer to come back and try to put the land back together and put the nutrients back in after the sheep had just destroyed it to pieces. And so as the years go by, pretty soon they become the lowest on the social economic scale. They're zeros. They're nobody. They're trash. That's all they are, those shepherds. They lost their civil privileges. They lost their civil privileges. They couldn't be a witness in court. Judge calls a witness up. What's your name? Bubba. Bubba, what do you do for a living, sir? I'm a shepherd. And the judge will say, thank you, Bubba. You are dismissed. Because shepherds were seen to be thugs, thieves, liars. They were despicable in the eyes of society. Just in the eyes of society. In religious eyes, they were worse because they were unclean. Unclean. The law of the day said you had to be clean. You had to be clean physically, ritually, ceremonial, morally. And shepherds just couldn't do it. Because shepherds always hung out with what? Sheep. And sheep are unclean. And you know what else sheep do? They die. Shepherds, daily, they dealt with the death of their sheep. And that means they had to go put their hands on a dead carcass and go do things with them, bury them, move them around, whatever they did with them. And so they were constantly just unclean. And so society didn't like them. The religious leaders didn't have much use for them. There's just nobody. But did you see what they did? Did you see what they did? When the angels came and they said, man, we got some great news for you tonight. You've got to go check this out. They went, but they went dirty. They didn't spend the time to go become ritually clean, ceremonially clean. They didn't do all that. They said, y'all want to go see? They said, yeah, let's go see. So they go. And God allows them to go, what? Dirty. God knew they weren't going to take days to cleanse themselves and all that stuff. So do you see the picture? That when God wanted to show His Son to humanity, He chose those who are the lowest of society, who would come to Him filthy and dirty, and that was okay. That was okay. He would take them just the way they are and present to them His precious Son. And He does the same thing today for you and I. The shepherds were found to have courage in the angels to believe them. They believed them enough they would actually go follow where the angels took them. They left the sheep. They never leave the sheep. These guys left the sheep. They realized the fullness of the promises of God. They returned to life. But as they returned to life, they took something from the experience of seeing the Messiah. And everywhere they went, whoever would give them an ear, which was hard to get for a shepherd because no one liked them, they would say, guess what happened to us? We were just out watching the sheep one night, and a bright light, and an angel came and took us to this inn, and in the back of the inn where the manger was, we saw the Messiah. And people were like, you're a shepherd, aren't you? Yes. Okay, have a good night. What a rough job. So why? Why would Jesus, a grown man, speaking to the Jews who still don't like shepherds, say to them, I am the good shepherd? Because in their minds, good shepherd is an oxymoron. You don't put those two words together. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Good, righteous, holy, divine shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And that takes us to where? Good Friday, Easter morning. Maybe God showed Jesus to the shepherds because they were the only ones who would accept the unacceptable. If God had called up the chief priest and said, hey, I've got a deal for you. I want you to go out to this place and look at the inn, go around back where the manger is, and see the Messiah. The chief priest would have said, who is this? You got the wrong number. Click. He wouldn't have gone. Nobody would have gone. So God chose those who were the least because they knew He would embrace that. He knew that He would embrace His Son. He wanted His Son to be welcomed into the world by just common folks. Common folks who come to Him dirty, but willing. So no one should ever think of themselves as being too low for God to want them to receive the Messiah. Too insignificant, too powerless, too forgotten, too hurting, too wounded, too lost, too anything for God to want them to receive the Messiah. Maybe that's why. When the angels came and revealed themselves to the shepherds, their promise is ours. They said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Whatever would keep you from embracing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, don't be afraid. Because I bring you good news. It will cause great joy for all the people, starting with the shepherds, going all the way up to you and me, to you and me, and beyond. For today, in the town of David, your Savior's been born. Praise Jesus, your Savior has been born. He is alive. He is a well. God presented Him to the shepherds to show you and I that He is also ours, and we can embrace Him and love Him and come to Him, that He's always there for you and for me. And he comes again tonight, afresh and anew. But he comes to you tonight in two ways. He comes to you spiritually, and tonight he comes to you through Holy Communion. When you come to receive Holy Communion tonight, we want you to know that you will receive the living body and the living blood of Christ. That is God's gift to you tonight. We can't all jump in a church bus and go find the manger because we don't even know where it's at. And it's too long a drive if we did know where it was at. But you can receive him through communion. Before he dies, just a mere 30-some years after this, he gathers his disciples together. He says, now listen, you guys, something terrible is about to happen. But don't be afraid. For today, your Savior lives, and he will always live. He'll always live. But for tonight, this bread is like my body. It'll be broken for the forgiveness of your sins. This bread is my body, broken as your Messiah, your Redeemer, your Savior, for the forgiveness of your sins and the redemption of your lives. He said to them, take, eat. And as you do so, do it in remembrance of me, the one that the angels proclaimed as good news for you. When the supper was over that night, before they go to the garden, he took the cup, he gave thanks. He said to them, now this is the cup of my blood given for you for the salvation of your lives, for the cleansing of your hearts and your souls, for your redemption. Take, drink, all of you. And as you do so, do it in remembrance of me. Do it in memory of me, your shepherd, died for you, that you may always live. Father, tonight, we ask only you allow this bread to become the body of Christ, the chalices to contain the blood of Christ for us this night, that we may truly come and receive the Lord Jesus alive and well. As if we saw him behind the inn, as if we saw him in the manger, alive and well. Let it be so for us tonight. We ask it in his holy, precious name. Amen.